Well, hello everybody and welcome to another episode of GUcast. This is Declan Murphy, urologist at Peter MacCallum Cancer Centre in Melbourne, not joined today by my usual co-host, Renu Epen, who's off gallivanting at ASCO GU. She just got on the plane last night from Melbourne, so she's not with us today. But I am joined by special guest co-host, my new fellow, Dr. Viru Kazi. Viru, welcome.
Good morning or good evening, depending on where you are.
So this is part of your fellowship training now. You thought you were coming down to Australia from London to, you know, do a bit more cancer work, do some prostate cancer, continue your eminent research career. But no, you're going to sit here in the podcasting studio at 6:30 in the morning and learn a bit about this as well.
This is why I came, Declan.
Well, I'm going to learn a bit about prostate cancer from you, I anticipate. So Viru Kazi, do you want to introduce yourself? Yeah, tell us a little bit about your background and interests.
Sure. So I'm an academic urologist from University College London. My research interests primarily in cancer and prostate cancer, and I'm a clinical trialist.
Fantastic. And your name is very well known to us, any of us interested in early detection of prostate cancer, from your seminal work on MRI and early detection. The Precision paper was your group. You were first author on that, yourself and Caroline Moore and that great group at UCL. Continue to do fantastic multi-center trials in MRI and early detection. So great to have you, Viru. And thank you for stepping into Renu's boots today.
Big boots to fill.
So, and today we thought we were going to cheer ourselves up as we transition out of the pandemic by talking about conferences, because conferences are back, I think, this year.
Hopefully.
We shouldn't jinx ourselves, but ASCO GU kicks off tomorrow, and actually normally a big gang of us go from Peter Mac to ASCO GU in person, but this year I think only one person's going. Renu is going, she's presenting in the plenary, but many of our other speakers are just contributing virtually. So I think, yes, it's a transition, but you know, we're dying to get back. And what we want to talk about today is two of our absolute favourite meetings that are out there, the EAU Annual Scientific Meeting and the APCCC, the Advanced Prostate Cancer Consensus Conference. These are two of the most fantastic meetings out there, well, in urology, but especially in prostate cancer for the latter, for the APCCC. And of course, for the last 2 years, these meetings have been disrupted by COVID. EAU was very dramatically disrupted, I recall, wasn't it? It's normally in March, in mid-March every year, and it was mid-March 2020, was supposed to be in Amsterdam, and then bang, a week or two before, suddenly the whole thing binned and we were all shut down, and our international borders are just about reopening here actually. So tricky period, lots of disruption, but we're feeling very optimistic about meetings this year, and especially those two because they're coming up in the next couple of months. So to talk a little bit more about that, it's a great pleasure to welcome back a couple of old friends of the podcast, actually. Welcome to Professor Peter Albers. Peter's a urologist. He's the professor and chair of urology in Dusseldorf, and he's chair of the EAU Scientific Committee. Peter, welcome back to GUcast.
Hi, hello, Declan, Alan, Viro, and Silke. I'm very glad to join this meeting here and to tell a little bit about the EAU transition again from spring to summer.
Fantastic. Yeah, because of course the date has moved as well. And look, we're very excited to hear about that. And also joining us on the line, Professor Silke Gillison, returning to GUcast. Silke's a medical oncologist. She's head of the Department of Medical Oncology at the Oncology Institute of Southern Switzerland. And she's president of the APCCC. Silke, welcome back to GUcast.
Ciao to all of you, again, also to Peter and to Australia. And again, here is already a bit late for a non-urologist.
Oh, yes. Okay, come on. You know, we know you're very friendly with urologists. You get up early in the morning, you stay up late at night. That's why we love you so much, Silke. She's an honorary urologist, I think. And a great visitor, regular visitor to Australia in the past. So hopefully we'll get to see you again sometime soon. So, yeah, Peter, we want to chat to you about the EAU, but it's moved, hasn't it? It's normally in March, and actually up until a few weeks ago, we thought it was in March. You and I are both heading up there, and then we got the notice to say we're going to push back. So I'm going to hand over to Viru to chat us through the EAU this year, the build-up to the disruption and so on.
So, yeah, I mean, we were delighted that there was still an in-person conference going to happen. Peter, what were your considerations about whether to move it to an in-person conference later or just have a hybrid meeting at the time that the original dates were posted?
Yeah, I was actually personally also surprised that we had to take this decision. A simple reason is the restrictions in the Netherlands to fill the rooms. So we would have been forced to cut down to one third per room, which means a 2,000 people room would have to be cut down to less than 600. And well, a lot of things would have happened. People could not join. All China, all Japan visitors already declined to come. And this was summing up in the last weeks, and there was actually no other choice than if you want to have a personal meeting, then to delay it, to postpone it to the summer. After the first shock, I thought, well, Amsterdam in March and Amsterdam in July, this is certainly different. And I think the first July weekend in Amsterdam is perfect. And so now we can have a normal EAU meeting with all the delegates. We can fill the rooms more or less like we were used to. We'll have these personal discussions, fly in friends from all over the world. And I was starting to hate all this hybrid stuff and getting discussions on the internet only. And so finally, I'm quite glad because we can just move the whole program like we planned it just 3 months later. And we don't get too much declines at the moment. The one or other is at vacation, but well, vacation is all over the year, as you know. And so it's not a big trouble. So I'm very confident that we have a very, very good meeting. And we have constructed a lot of good sessions already, patients participation meeting. Mike Jewett will come over and have the first real good lecture on patient issues and patient-reported outcomes. Then we have this special sessions on prevention, for example, with all the guys that are dealing with cancer prevention. Silke has this perfect session on metastatic cancer. There are all these stuff that we were so happy that we could have it again will now take place in summer. And I don't think this is a bad message.
Well, I think it's always fantastic being able to interact in person with your colleagues. And I went to the ESUI meeting and EAU meeting at the end of last year, and seeing your friends and colleagues after a long time in person, it's a real feeling when you've been collaborating with them virtually. But in person, you can't quite recreate, you know, the atmosphere, the collaboration that you can online, I think. So I'm quite looking forward to that.
Yeah, when I saw the email pop up saying change to EAU, I thought, oh, it's going to be hybrid, isn't it? Or they'll push it back and make it hybrid. And I have to say, I had the same emotion as Peter. You know, that would be difficult to look forward to it in the same way as you might look forward to a physical meeting. But I suppose a question I had for you about that, Peter, is, you know, the hybrid format has been challenging, and especially I remember EAU when it suddenly had to go hybrid at short notice or completely virtual at short notice. But do you think we have taken some good out of that experience of having to communicate in a hybrid manner with these major scientific meetings? Are we going just back to normal, which was fantastic, or will there be a legacy of the hybrid meetings? Are you planning virtual sessions and hybrid options for people who can't make it in person?
Actually, we took out the most positive things from the virtual meetings and put it now into this meeting. Two examples, for example, the transmission of special sessions, for example, for the Japanese or the South American colleagues will be transmitted to the according times. And so we experienced a lot of Brazilians, for example, for the first time at the meeting. And so it created kind of a worldwide attendance. And we try to schedule those meetings depending on the time zones. This is one thing, because we will be able to transmit at least three rooms in a virtual format in addition to the in-person. And the second thing is kind of an interesting change in the poster formats. So the abstract sessions we thought would be a good idea to have groupings of abstracts. So we composed now sessions with 20 abstracts, and then the chairs are supposed to select four or five of the posters to be discussed on a podium scene. So the abstract presenters will not give personal introductions, but will join on the podium like they did it in the rooms, in the virtual rooms before. And this will now create a much more vivid discussion on four or five important topics of a whole abstract session. And this is a completely new format, which is kind of in a TV show. And this is what we experienced in Amsterdam last time. The studio setting created a lot of good discussions in between four or five people. And now we just get the abstract presenters up to the podium and discuss their whole topic from different angles and aspects. So this is only two examples that we transmit positive elements from the virtual meeting into the in-present meeting. The last thing is, what I think is important, we have now really important trials that are presented in a game-changing session that cause a lot of attention. And for the first time, the EAU was used sometimes also for the presentation of very good scientific contents for the first time at all. And if you have a presentation like this, it is very good that you meet those guys in person, because like Vero, for example, published the precision trial. There are so many questions you have if a trial is presented, and if you only are in the computer setting, you're not able to get response to those questions. But here you can just talk to Vero. Why didn't you do this and that? I think this talking in between sessions, behind the scenes, this is very important to get more insight in the scientific data. And so I think this is the real advantage of an in-person meeting. But to come back to your question, we try to get the positive things out of the virtual meetings into the in-present meeting as well.
Yeah, we might as well. The lessons learned, it was an uncomfortable period, it still is a bit of an uncomfortable period, but there were some benefits. I really like that idea of the chat show style, because that was enjoyable. And your studio last year was beautiful. That setup that the team had created in Amsterdam looked visually very appealing, because some of the virtual stuff's not very visually appealing. You get so sick of, you know, poor quality Zoom links and this and that. But when you create these nice studio environments and then you bring in guests here and there, they don't have to be in a studio. They can be from the home office, but at least the whole thing is not a home office, and it's more pleasant to watch for the viewer, I think. So yeah, that's a great one, Peter. And grouping the sessions together should be very good, I think, shouldn't it?
Yeah. Peter, I'm glad you mentioned the game-changing sessions, because those are often the most exciting sessions of EAU, which I remember, and you feel the atmosphere in the room. Can you give us any sneak peeks on what kind of things or topics might be being covered in the game-changing session this year?
Don't try, Vero. But I can promise we have already six really major trials that will be presented at EAU, wow. followed by a discussion of an expert in the field, usually from the SEO. So we try to get a track leader. This is what I invented in the SEO, that we have now tracks to judge on the abstracts. And so you have an expert. It's actually a little bit of copy paste from ASCO. I really like this presenting data, and another guy then put this into perspective. And this is much better than just presenting the raw data. And so the game-changing session will consist of the presentation of very large trials and new important information. And then a discussant as expert in the field will comment on this. And this conjunction, I think, will make a big difference also for the EU in the future, because it's very attractive in such a format to get your papers presented and published at the same day. So usually you try to arrange with your journal the publication is held on until this presentation. And I think this is a big value for really good scientific work.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I remember when Viru stood up as a young trainee at the EAU presenting the precision trial, and he stood up and the opening slide was, "I'm pleased to say this is published in the New England Journal of Medicine today." And then everyone drops their phones and looks up. Oh, gosh, hang on. Oh, there's a big randomized trial about to be presented. And so those moments are good. And I think that reflects the stature of the meeting. It has really risen over the past couple of decades into a very, very high-end premium meeting. So I'm really pleased pleased to hear all this stuff's coming through. I recall at that the cancelled meeting 2 years ago, we were due to present the pro-PSMA trial. At your meeting, you'd kindly accepted it as a practice-changing plenary, and we arranged the co-publication in The Lancet, all lined up, and then boom, 2 weeks before, the whole meeting was cancelled, and which was disappointing. We had to go ahead and publish same time, of course, and we did present virtually a few months later in the delayed meeting. But I think that's really good, Peter. That's a very attractive for us delegates. When you see the practice-changing plenaries are listed, you're going to get up early and get in there and you know, take note of what will be practice-changing stuff. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
What else are you looking forward to, Vera? You're going to EAU?
Yeah, so there are a number of exciting sessions for me, which I'll be involved in. Work with the YAU group, the Young Academic Urology group, and some sessions which we're leading with BURST research collaborative work, studies like the RESECT study, the opportunity to collaborate with people from around the world who come together at this one moment. I'm looking forward to those things.
Yeah, fantastic. And Silky, if we can ask you, before we talk about APCCC, you're a regular. I think you're at EAU every year, I can remember. So again, that reflects the breadth of the meeting. It's not a urology meeting. Certainly in the oncology sessions, it's extremely multidisciplinary. But you're looking forward to travel to Amsterdam, I presume?
Yeah, I would have, but unfortunately, I'm in vacation. I'm one of them who is in vacation, so that's very so unfortunate. I couldn't believe it when I saw the new date, because also everything is already organized, and so yeah, it's always the same. Like, it was like, no, why did they just use that date? You know, but yeah, I understand, Peter, that obviously you can't ask everyone. And now I have to try to find out how to get substitutes for me for my sessions. But yeah, I'm really sorry that I can't be there and meet you all and have the science, but also the networking, as Peter said, and the nice glass of wine with some friends. And I think this is really something that has been missing. So many good ideas, you know, that come up in these meetings, because you're just sitting next to someone who has a good idea and then you talk about it. And so this was really missing, I think, also from my part, also in all the oncology meetings, because also there was not much with a lot of people ongoing.
But yeah, this is a good chance. So you can really substitute yourself by another young female. And this actually is hard to organize, that the YAU group and all the young fellows that are working hard in the field get now attention. And by chance, if one of the big guys like you is missing, someone could step in that you really would bring up to this podium. And I would see this positive. So this change is hard to organize from above. And it's much easier if you could suggest someone substituting you, because, you know, this pressure on meeting organizations, putting in young people, diverse people. So this is important, you know, and if you come to a meeting every year and see all the nice chaps from the last 10 years, this is not something that brings you into the future. So this is one of a very important aspect, but as an organizer, I can say it's in detail, it's really hard, because you sometimes need a mixture of experienced people and young people. And so we are very glad that we get some opportunities by people that are on vacation that we can substitute them.
Fantastic. Hear, hear to that, Peter. You bring great joy. As you know, we have a big interest in promoting gender diversity, all diversity, actually. And we published that paper in European Urology a few months ago, a systematic review looking at these so-called MANLs, you know, the too many male-dominated panels at urology meetings. So to hear the chair of the meeting speak like that makes me feel very pleased indeed. And so, Silky, onto APCCC. Now, there will be listeners to GUcast out there who are not familiar with APCCC. The Advanced Prostate Cancer Consensus Conference, what used to be called the St. Gallen meeting. But can you tell us briefly, what is the APCCC?
Yes, so you have been there, so you are like one of our panelists, so you know better than a lot of other people. It's really, in reality, a bit different from what EAU is or ESMO is. It's really a meeting that's very much focused on clinical daily practice. So where are the situations where we see patients, and that's more often than we think, and we don't know what is the right thing to do because there is no good evidence or there is conflicting evidence. And the idea of this meeting is that really an international expert panel, multidisciplinary, and also we try to have gender balance and diversity in the panel. And we ask these questions. So we prepare questions and it's like a Delphi consensus. And then in the end, we make votings from these experts on very specific questions about how to treat patients. So it's not like Peter said, new data coming in, but it's more about really what do we see in clinical practice? What are the experts doing in certain situations? Let's say salvage, radiotherapy, plus, minus ADT. How long is the ADT? Are you giving it to everyone or only the patients who have a PSA of more than 0.5, let's say? So all these questions we see every day in the practice and in the clinic, we pose to the panelists. And it's always interesting, you know, that probably in half of the questions, we get a consensus and in the other half, not. So that's always interesting for me to see.
Yeah, and the format of the meeting is quite amazing, really. Mm-hmm. So obviously the panel voting and discussion at the panel is very interesting, kind of entertaining. And that's the product of the meeting. There's a very nice manuscript which gets very highly cited. And all the time you're seeing people put up the results. They're saying, well, at the APCCC, this was the consensus that we should do this and should do that. And it's often fast moving areas where there's not established guidelines or there's limited data. So, you know, but it's a clinical scenario. So how do I manage this patient? And the APCC consensus votes are usually very interesting. But I think that the for people interested in prostate cancer, the first two days of the meetings are just the most amazing state-of-the-art lectures that you can imagine. It's just incredible. Back-to-back experts from all over the world delivering short format lectures, only up to like 8 or 9 or 10 minutes. No original data. It's not like ASCO or EAU. It's just overviews, expert overviews, but the most like jaw-dropping things. There's no parallel tracks, just one room and bang, 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 all these most amazing topics. And not just metastatic prostate cancer. It's very much involved in high-risk localized prostate cancer or local regional prostate cancer. So for urologists out there listening, it's working in prostate cancer a lot, it's the most insightful meeting, I must say, to sit there for 2 days listening to these experts go through. And then on the third day, there's the panel, the voting and all that. But I'm presuming that's still going to be the format, Silke. You're still planning to have short format expert lectures, very tightly controlled on timing, no waffling on for 20 minutes. And then have voting on the third day.
Yeah, so kind of. So we are very strict, as you know. So we are Swiss. We like people to be in time. And we are also very strict in telling people what we want to have covered. So, because sometimes I think this is also a bit the problem, right, that people don't, like the speakers do their talks like they do it, like normally, but we want sometimes really very specific questions to be answered in these talks. And I think a lot of it is also, so what are you really doing in your clinical practice? So not these are all the, I mean, this is also important. So that these are the data we have, but then what are you doing out of the data? Because the thing is, as you know, we are exactly not going into topics where there are guidelines based on good evidence. So we go really to topics where there is no evidence. So it's much more important what the experts do. In the end, it's never level one evidence, and we will always go and fight a bit with Nicolas Motte because he likes really good evidence. But what we're coming up with is recommendation, it's expert recommendation, but experts can be really wrong. So, and that's, I guess, also sometimes the things that we have to keep in mind, that obviously also experts are not always correct. But I guess at least it gives you a hint. And for people who are treating patients with prostate cancer, and I guess there's a lot of them around the world, but don't have like we have this kind of luxury that we can concentrate on that cancer, but have to do much broader, have to do everything, have to treat patients with, or can treat patients with breast cancer and prostate cancer. And so you can't be so much into the detail. And for them, hopefully this is really kind of help if they come into these situations where there is no good evidence. So that's the idea. And in reality, we do it every second year. And we were lucky because we could do it in 2019. So it was then planned. So that was before the COVID started. At least we didn't know it at that time in October. And so it was planned to do it again in 2021. So last year. And then we said we're just going to postpone it to 2022 because we didn't know what's going to happen. But then a lot of our Australian friends, like Ian Davis, for example, was like, no, this is not possible. Then we have so much new data. You have to do something in October. So we did that more like really virtual format, but also in a studio with some guests. So Colin Pizzazzi was there, as you know, Bertrand Tombal, Nick James. So we had some guests there or some panelists, and we could at least get a bit of that feeling, you know, the discussion ongoing. What we changed, and I think it was a good change, because as you said, we had before always done on Saturday morning these votings that are kind of stressful for the panelists, right? Because there's duck, 120 questions in the morning. So what we have changed in that virtual one now is that we have developed a survey. So we do the questions all by that survey. So we have already the answers of the experts when we go to the meeting. And we're going to do that in April again. So the meeting will be April 28th to April 30th. And we will already have the answers of the panelists, so we can discuss them in the meeting. So this is going to be, has changed a bit the format. So COVID in that sense has influenced us, I hope, to the better. Let's see what you think.
Fantastic. And I recall at the 2019 meeting, there were like 700 or 800 delegates in this big hall. So people do go to it. It's not just the panelists. It's a very, very, very informative meeting. So I encourage anyone out there working in prostate cancer who would like a trip to Lugano in southern Switzerland on the Italian border to book that in 28th to 30th of April. Fantastic meeting. And will there be a virtual option for people or a watch afterwards type of option for the meeting, Silke?
Yes, so we have decided to do a hybrid meeting. So because we have seen that there are probably a lot of people still can't travel, or I think we guess. And we also have realized, and that's also something good that came out of the COVID in reality. So we have seen a bit like Peter, you know, that we made the meeting, the virtual meeting, free for interested people from low-income countries. So they don't have to pay anything. So they have a free registration. And we saw a lot of people be interested in that. So we're going to do that again because Switzerland is expensive. So in that sense, if you come from a poorer country, sometimes it's difficult to do the travel and all of that. And we have something new. I mean, maybe interesting for you as well. On the 27th, for the first time, we do a transitional meeting. It doesn't have anything to do with the APCCC because the APCCC is really very clear. But because I'm here with Andrea Alimonti, who you probably know, and Jean-Philippe Theuria, so two really, really good basic science researchers, we just thought, let's try to do a translational meeting. So, and also there, obviously, the networking would be very important, that the clinicians can go to there and then kind of have some ideas shared with the researchers in the lab.
I'm getting excited. I really am. I'm getting excited. Meetings are back. I'm feeling very positive and optimistic speaking to these two folks. So we got APCCC coming up end of April, 28th to 30th of April. We'll put the links in the show notes. And EAU, the big EAU, conventional meeting, the usual format with some great tweaks, but pushback to the 1st to the 4th of July. And I must say, I'm really looking forward to it. Peter, any closing comments from you?
Yeah, what I would like to mention is that I'm very positive that we have this merge of the last 2 years' experience with it started with some crashes and with some emergency constructions, but now we have condensed it to create new formats to make it more lively. We have lots of social media contacts, and we will transmit this to EAU TV, for example, what we didn't do 2 years ago. So the main messages are distributed on many channels now, and I think this is true for nearly every big meeting. And like Silke said, we shouldn't forget the countries that cannot afford to travel or that get not enough money to attend such meetings. We have to develop formats to spread this knowledge worldwide. And I think we are in the beginning of this. We just started this with sessions, for example, low budget for high technology or something like that. We have created sessions like this. But if you look to South America, if you look to Central America or to Africa, for example, everyone has forgotten about these countries, but a lot of interesting urologists would like to participate at least in some of these developments. And I think this is a major task for the next years, spreading the knowledge by diverse channels and then not forgetting non-industrialized countries that also need our care. So, well, I'm excited and be happy to be involved in all this and get people like you helping me with that. And I try to be very honest and to get also criticism for things that are not going quite well. This improves meetings in the future. So thank you also to you that we get these guys around us.
Oh, thank you, Peter. And I recall you took over chairman of the scientific committee at the start of the pandemic. So EAU 2020, I think, was going to be the start of your multi-year experience. And now you're thrown into immediate crisis 2 weeks before the meeting. So it's been very stressful for you and the committee and the excellent team at EAU and Congress Consultants. But we're very, very excited. I genuinely am excited. And I listen to your words very carefully. It's so important to have these big scientific meetings back in some sort of traditional format. But it's usually very expensive for some people to do that, to get to these meetings. So likewise, we must make sure that the valuable scientific and educational content can be made as widely available as possible to people all around the world. There'll always be people who get to those meetings who want to present research. You need to be there to network, but there's so many people out there that will benefit from dissemination, I suppose that's the word, of the valuable content you have at these meetings. So that's it, Vera. Are you excited as well?
I'm really excited. The main question I have is, when do we book our tickets?
Oh, yeah, very careful. The day before, I think. Australia tends to be a bit volatile when it comes to traveling, so not too early, I think, will be the answer. So thanks. That's all we have time for on GUcast today. It's been such a pleasure to speak to Peter Albers and Silke Gillison today on GUcast, and look forward to these great meetings. So if you can't make it in person, make sure you're engaging on social media channels or joining the virtual option if possible for these meetings, and hopefully we'll see many of you around the place. GUcast, by the way, will be broadcasting from all those meetings this year. We're going to be like guerrilla broadcasters on the sideline, and we'll bring you the best content we can. Thank you very much.